Oh, anyone there? Without answering any big questions. Okay, so we are recording. So where we are looking at Absalom's rebellion against his father. David has run away from Yerushalayim. He is heading east. When we last met him, he was in Bahurim, which is about halfway between Yerushalayim, toward the Jordan. Or so we think. We don't really know where this city of Bahurim is, but we know it's in Binyamin somewhere. So we're going to go back to Yerushalayim now. When we last left Yerushalayim at the end of, and in the middle really of Perek Tet Vav, it said, Vaivo Hushai, Re'e David Ha'ir. Remember, Hushai Ha'arki was a friend of David who told him, you can't give up. So David tells him, look, you can't stay with me. Go back to Yerushalayim and you'll be my double agent. You will declare your loyalty to Absalom and then you'll work, do your best to defeat him. And at the same time, Absalom, Yavo Yerushalayim, Yavo in biblical Hebrew, it's not the future so much as the ongoing action. He was coming to Yerushalayim as this is all happening. And then we had the whole story of David and Shimi ben Gera and all, it was insulting him and Mephibosheth and the servant of Mephibosheth and all that. But meanwhile, back at the very beginning of Perek Tet Zion. Avshalom v'chol am ish Yisrael, bo'o Yerushalayim. Avshalom and all the people of Israel. So he is mostly his loyalty is mostly the people of Yisrael, not Yehuda, who are still loyal to David. Even though Avshalom obviously is from Yehuda, he's David's son. This fault line has existed throughout Israeli history. But Bo Yerushalayim had come. Achitophel Ito, and Achitophel, who is David's chief military strategist, was with Absalom. We talked about him. He is Bathsheba's grandfather. He was doing his best to have David killed at this point. Ever got all the people together? Give me a scorecard for all the parties. Vahikasher b'chushay ha'arki re'e David el Absalom. So Hushai, the friend of David, comes to Absalom, who's in Yerushalayim. V'yomer Hushai Absalom, yichi amel, yichi amel. First thing Hushai says is, long live the king, O Absalom. V'yomer Absalom el Hushai, and Absalom isn't a fool. He's like 30 years old, so from my point of view, that's still a little kid, but he's still very suspicious about this whole Hushai, right? So he says to Hushai, Zechastech al Reyecha, this is the good that you're doing to your friend, right? Your title is Re'e David. You are the friend of David. You've been by his side. Why are you coming to me now? Lama lo halakta al Reyecha, why aren't you with David? He's suspicious. Yomer Hushai el Absalom. So Hushai says back. Look, no, that's not the way it is. Ki asher bachar Hashem va'am hazeh, v'chol ish Yisrael. Because the one who was chosen by God and by all of Israel, right? That's how you determine a king. God needs both sides of it. Needs God chooses and the people chooses. Clearly, that's what's happened here. Clearly, God is on your side. David's run away. Clearly, the people are with you. Look at all the people with you. Lo ayeh, should I not belong to him? And I will stay with such a person. That's the one I'm going to stay with. And second of all, you're right, I am still loyal to David, but David is no longer the king. He is God. So who should I be loyal to? Obviously, his successor. That's you. You're his son. So if I can't be loyal to David, I'll be loyal to you. Just like I served your father, so too I will serve you. So says Hushai. And we know from the backstory that he's lying. Okay, he's still loyal to David, but that's his words. And the interesting thing about that is there's a creative here. And the decree, the way we read it, is lo lamed vav. I will belong to him, to such a person, to Absalom. But the ketiv, the way it's actually written in the text, is lo. I will not belong to him. little bit of a pun there. And the fact is that modern Hebrew, lo and lo, I can't say it differently because I'm not that good, are in fact homophones, right? The aleph is completely silent.
Maybe you read it, no, but it becomes a question. Wouldn't I be with him?
Well, I think here he's actually, he's making a point that there's a pun in the text where he's really saying both of those things. And because, I mean, you could read it that way. Yeah, it's a rhetorical question. But I think it's more powerful to read it this way. Is he's saying one thing and kind of under his breath saying the other. Because this particular cricative pair, where between the low with the vav and low with the aleph, happens a lot in the Torah, a lot in Tanakh. And evidently this aleph here really does have a sound. It's a glottal stop. Which if you look at Wikipedia, what that means is it's the sound when you're changing vowels. Gives the example of uh-oh. What happens between the and the o? Now everyone's gonna try to say that. Stop sound. So now say lo o, and then skip the second o. So it's lo as opposed to lo. And I can't necessarily hear the difference, but those are different letters. That actually has meaning. If you look at it in sort of the Temani, Hebrew still makes that distinction. And Arabic has that make distinction. It still says, uses the glottal stop. I will never say a difference between low and low. But throughout Torah, it's always looked at as a meaningful cricative. It's the typological indication of a dialectic, but both meanings of it's true and it's not true are both appropriate at the same time. Here's an example. Lahalacha, talking about Yekra, talking about kosher animals, right? We all eat grasshoppers and crickets. They're delicious and crunchy and high in protein. We know that. This is what you can eat from all the crawling, flying things that have four legs. Asher lo kra'ayim imal raglav. That also has knees above its above its legs, and a terbahana arets to jump on the land. So it has those big jumping legs. That qualifies as a kosher insect. And it has the same lo and lo. Torah Tamima, quoting the Gemara in Chulim.
Right. What's the significance of that lo lo?
Ah, so that's the Gemara in Chulim.
Oh, sorry.
It's a Ashlo Kraim. It's Ketiv lo, Korean lo. It's written with a not, but you read it as having it. The lucky is has to have it, but shafilu ein lo achshav vatila gadel achar zman. So you need the grubs of these things if you want to. It's a species that will develop, even though it doesn't have the jumping legs now. It's still kosher.
It's like swordfish. The opposite, right?
I don't know enough about. I have no idea what the issue with swordfish is.
Sorry. Anyway,
the building assembly versus OU thing.
Anyway, swordfish has fins and scales, but never at the same time.
Is that what it is? Okay, I know the issues, but I don't know about it. But this is specifically halakha is reading that if you have a bug in front of you that does not have jumping legs, but it will develop jumping legs, then it is kosher. Same thing true with a laws.
But that's a weird thing. What's the significance of having a jumping legs?
That's a Tamei Mitzvah question. I have no idea. Well, maybe we'll talk about the Parashat Shemini about the lungs of kashrus and why do we care about jumping legs.
That's very strange.
Yeah. You might argue that it's nothing to do with the jumping legs per se. It's that kind of animal. It's like, why do I care about split hooves?
It's true.
Kind of animals that are ruminants, that are cows that we care about. But I don't have an answer to that. I'm just practical halakha. You can eat cricket grubs.
Excellent.
Okay.
Come to my house. We're gonna have.
I hope I don't have to.
Okay, that's the low low, and that comes up a lot. So here, I would argue that this is intentional, and even in the sense of that we have this sense of it's telling us what Hushai was saying. He was saying lo aya, I will be loyal to you, not under his breath. Okay, very much like Galileo saying, yeah, but yet it moves. So that's Hushai talking to Avshalom. And Avshalom evidently accepts that. He believes him. So now he's got now Avshalom now has two loyal advisors previously with David. He's got Achitophel and Hushai. Now he turns to Achitophel. Vayomer Avshalom and Achitophel. Avud lachem, that's plural, so now it's you plus you. Etza manaseh, what do I do now? Okay, I won. Now what? So this is his transition team. Vayomer Achitofel Avshalom. So Achitofel says, this is what you need to do. Bo el Pilekshe Avicha. You need to go to the concubines of your father, Sheniach Lishmar Abai, that he left behind. The guard, the palace, they're all here. B'shama kol Yisrael ki nivashta davicha. All of Israel will hear that you have disgraced your father. You've taken his concubines for yourself. B'chazku yadei kol asher itach, and that will strengthen your hand. That will make a point. So Avshalom likes the idea. V'aytul Avshalom ohel al hagag. So Avshalom pitches a tent on the roof. All right, we know what roof this was.
The same roof. Right. David
saw Bathsheba. You saw bathing from the roof. Okay, the Gog there. I mean, this is not a subtle message over here. He goes to that roof that David was wandering on top of his palace. He pitches a tent there. And Avshalom goes to Pilekshe Aviv, and that is meant, I think, to be as ambiguous as possible. I have no idea what he did inside the tent. That's not really relevant. He just publicly takes the concubines, goes inside the tent, lay nakol Yisrael in the eyes of all Israel. And at one level, that's a fulfillment of...
Isn't that forbidden halachically?
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
So, I mean, we saw that. When Natan comes to David after Bathsheba and says, you have sinned, you've taken this woman, you killed her husband, and this is the punishment you're going to get. Ko amar Hashem, hi mekim alecha ra'a mibeitecha. I'm going to bring this evil from within your own house. Lakachti et nashecha leinecha, and your wives will be taken before your eyes. Natati l'reyecha, and be given to your colleague, right? This ra'a that's coming from your house. V'shachavim nashecha leinei Hashem hashazot, and it will lie with your wives. From the in public view, before the sun, yata sita b'sedek. What you did was secret. Vania said the baradar zed neged kol Yisrael, and I will make this happen. God is saying to David, in the eyes of all of Israel, the neged Hashemesh, and outwardly and publicly.
Wait, when is this?
This was Natan coming to David right after Bathsheba.
But that's not yet happened.
Right, this is a nevuah, this is a prophecy. So David sins with Bathsheba, has Uriah killed, Natan comes to him and says, Atai Ish.
But I mean, it's after the Avshalom story.
What? What is after Avshalom story?
The David and Bathsheba story.
No. What are you talking
about? Oh, Bathsheba. Oh, that's what we're clarifying. Already?
Yeah. Bathsheba happens in Perek Yud Aleph. Yeah, this Avshalom is a consequence of Bathsheba.
Oh.
Right, but the sin happens already. The whole story from Yud Aleph all to pretty much the end of Yud Bet is a story of the consequences of Bathsheba.
You know, we're doing this with Rabbi Shulman too.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. But he hasn't gotten Gimel already. I mean, he hasn't gotten close to
Bathsheba. Of course. Avshalom is a consequence, not just after. It's a. It's linked. Right. Yes.
That's the al-Hagag, right? This is the fulfillment of the Nevuah, right? Natan tells him that your wives will be taken in public view because you did it in secret, took someone else's wife in secret, and here it's actually happening.
So maybe Achitofel knew this Nevuah.
I assume he did.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what his idea was in order to fulfill the Nevuah. I don't think that's what his goal was. I mean, as I said here, it doesn't hurt his case, right? He's still saying it's the thing you want to do, but there's a specific meaning to take the Pilak Shim.
Danny, as long as we're talking with people sleeping with people, which son of David slept with his sister? Who was that?
That was Amnon.
Oh, that was Amnon, okay. Right. It's hard to keep them all straight.
Amnon is David's oldest.
Okay,
he rapes Tamar, who's Absalom's full sister. Yeah. Absalom has Amnon killed.
Oh, okay, yeah.
David, and then Absalom runs away to his maternal grandfather in Geshur. Yoav brings Avshalom back to try to get him to be the crown prince. David allows him back in Jerusalem, but won't talk to him. So Avshalom just goes off and decides he's going to do his own thing because his father won't talk to him. And that's what starts this whole rebellion.
Okay.
So Avshalom definitely has daddy issues, okay? I mean, that's clearly happening here. But that's right. That's all background. But the idea...
That's what you call a lot of heavy luggage.
Yeah, politics is not pretty. Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like, and the whole royalty thing, it's just bad.
Yeah.
Like I said, I like reading about, yeah, the, you know, English royalty as well. At least 500 years ago. Now it's not nearly as interesting, but it has the same kinds of things going on where everybody tries to kill everybody else. But the idea of, okay, go back to the sleeping with a Pelagshim is a specific issue that comes up a lot. Now we saw that back in the beginning of Shmuel Bet, if you remember, with Rabbi Shulman, that when after Shaul dies, the kingdom is split. Yehuda is under David, and the rest of Yisrael is under Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul.
Yeah.
All this sounds vaguely familiar. Shaul Pilegesh, Shema Ritzpah Bat Ye'ayah. And Shaul had a Pileg, a concubine, not a full wife, but a concubine. Vayomer El Abner. And Ishbosheth tells Abner, who was Shaul's general, who is Ishbosheth's, one who established Ishbosheth as king. And Ishbosheth tells Abner, Madua Bata El Pilegesh Avi. Why did you Bata? You come to the Pilegesh of my father. And Abner is furious about this accusation. About what Ishbosheth said. Am I the head of a dog? I shall Yehuda. Right. That's the worst insult that he can come up with. Do I look like a Jewish dog? I'm just saying, I'm negative. The relationship between Yehuda and Israel were that the insult would be that you belong to Yehuda. Hayom aseh chesed in Beit Shaul. I've done all this good for Beit Shaul Avicha, for Shaul, the house of Shaul, your father. Elchav, Belmereu, all of his people of law, him tziat chabiyad David. I didn't let you fall into the hands of David. And you're going to accuse me of doing this sin, of sleeping with the Pilegesh of Shaul. Why is that important?
Because it's like he was taking his place.
Right. Similarly, we saw by Reuven. Right, Reuben and Bilhah, that story about Hebishon and Yisrael Baratahi, when Yaakov was living in that land. But Yelch Reuben Beishkav et Bilhah Pilegesh Aviv. Reuben sleeps with Bilhah, the concubine of his father. And what's interesting about the pasuk is that Bilhah is not a Pilegesh in any sense whatsoever. Bilhah is a full-fledged wife. It's never mentioned as a Pilegesh. The point is that was what Reuben was doing, was sleeping with the Pilegesh of his father. That's a statement about who's in charge. Like Shema Yisrael, and Israel heard, and there were the 12. That was that. And that comes up again and again of what it means to the Pilegesh, because that's the halacha. Shemina din, Pilegesh ha-melech asur lehedyot. Even if the king is dead or divorces, the Pilegesh is forbidden to anyone who is not themselves a king. Because you can't use the tools, the scepter of the king. So taking the Pilegesh of a former king is a statement of, I am the king. Okay? That's what Ishbosheth is accusing Abner of doing. Of saying, I am now the Melech. That's what Reuben was doing. Not so much Melech, but of saying, I'm the Bechor, I'm in charge. Yaakov is no longer in charge of the family. Similarly, that's what this message of that Avshalom is doing by taking specifically Pilegshim. So we have saying, now, I am now the Melech. Again, you know, fulfilling this Nevuah that of Natan was a bonus, but I don't think that's what Achitov was trying to do by this. He's trying to say, you need to show everyone that you are publicly declaring yourself to be the Melech here. Can't take half steps. Half steps. Pilegshim are not yours. Take a step back. Why are those Pilegshim in Yerushalayim at all?
Because he can't take them all with him because he's escaping now.
Right, he runs away. Why can't he take, why doesn't he take them all? I think that's there. Because we look, when he looked back when he's leaving, it's by Tzeya Melech Chobe Tobraglov. Right, the king left and took his whole household, went on foot as they're running away from Avshalom who's coming. By Yazov Hamelech at Esen Nashim Plakshim Lishmor Habayit. And the king left behind 10 of his Plakshim Lishmor Habayit to guard the house. What does that mean? They give him arms and say, here, you keep Avshalom out? That's what I want to look at. What are they doing there? So the Vilna Gaon says that he sacrificed him. He's looking at this nevuah of Natan. He says, well, I don't want, I have real wives that I care about. I'm going to take them with me. I'm going to leave these Pilakshim behind. As Susie shakes her head.
I'm just, my modern sensibilities are very offended with this whole topic. But anyway, I will try not to.
I agree. I am not disagreeing at all. Okay. This is horribly offensive. The idea that you own the woman here. Okay. I mean, that's the message here. That's Avshalom's message. That the Pilakshim are the Sharvit. They're right there. This is separate. There's the tools of the king. Feel free to be
the whole idea of the of a harem and
right.
All these right. Women. We okay. Don't usually think of David like, you know, we think Michal and Avi, you know, but
he had relationships with
Rav, but he had a harem.
Can hear Pilakshim, right? And what do you do with Pilakshim, right? What does that mean? I don't know. Yes, I'm not going to justify it. I'm just saying that clearly is what happened, and that is clearly why.
And it was okay. It was legal. He wasn't doing anything terrible, right?
I don't know. We want to say that he, you know, that they were Pilak. The Pilak Shim was not a physical thing. It was a, you know, they were the ones who were running the household, and you had to be formally married. Part of the family to be there? I don't know. I'm not even going to, I have no idea. I'm not even touching what a Pilegesh is, okay? I have no idea how to even think about it because my modern sense.
Like Achashverosh.
I'm sorry?
It sounds like Achashverosh. You know, they got,
yeah.
Okay, I need a bunch, he needs a bunch of women.
Anyway.
I don't know. This is the Gra. Uvera Gra. Shekevich Natana Navi Amar Davi Lakachti et Neshecha Leinecha Hadlereacha Meshechavim Neshecha, right? Because the Gra says that he had this nevuah. He knew this was going to happen. He knew this was going to take place. And afterwards, maybe David could be saved once the punishment happens. So he leaves these women behind basically to sacrifice them, which I have a terrible problem with at all. Not that I'm going to disagree with the Gra, but I have a support of the Abarbanel who says the opposite. Right, they weren't left as a sacrifice. They were left with Shemarat Habayit. What does the Shemarat Habayit mean?
It means literally to protect the house.
Right.
I don't know how they're supposed to protect the house.
You like Shim to do that. If he wants to protect the house, he should leave an army behind.
Exactly.
Okay. So Rabakatav Shasa David today shall you lo yid parsem lechto that David did all of these things so no one knew he left. Okay. Because he went specifically Braglov on foot. Lo yechshushu David won't think that's David, right? Because he would go on, you know, his horses and the whole chariot and all that. Yeshua melech asran hashim plagshim lishmor beito to keep the house. In other words, you know, if I'm going away, but I don't want anyone to know that, I leave my lights on timers.
Right.
Okay. So David's timers, you know, to make sure that the blinds were open and closed and people were coming in and out. That's what the Pilakshim were doing. They were running the household, make it look like someone was still home. He wants to buy time. That's right. The Pilakshim was a skeleton crew. Keep up appearance, he was still there. Because everyone who worked for everyone was family. So I think it was the other way around, is that David knew what Avshalom was capable of, right? Avshalom already killed Amnon, who was his rival for the throne. If David actually left any of his wives or any of his legal family behind, you'd assume Absalom would have him killed because they're rivals for the throne. Concubines and their children, they're not rivals for the throne. They would be safe, presumably. Mashallah. Right? The concubine by definition, they never mothered the king. So they should be safe. So I would say that.
So Danny, this has nothing to do with David trying to bring the nevuah to fruition that he's going to be saved?
Right. I would argue that this is exactly the opposite, that David's not trying to fulfill the prophecy. And we've talked about that before.
Okay.
But some poet says that all the time. You don't try to fulfill a nevuah.
Right.
That's a good job, right? You do the right thing. Nevuah will be fulfilled. In this case, it was, but I would argue that was the exact opposite of his intention. He left with his wife to try to save them, because Natan was talking about Neshav, and he figured that the Pilakshim there were not Neshav. Mm. They were left behind to kind of keep the house safe, to make it look like someone was still there. So this is where Rabbi Bazak puts it. V'yesh bazat mishum chazara l'motif mukar b'tragedi. Tragi. Should be a dollar there, right? Tragic. Tragic. Right, there, we come back to a tragic motif that comes back and that keeps coming back in David's life. Shuv David may be atzmo et sarot v'anonshim shenigzru Allah b'kvot parshat Batsheva. That everything David does to try to avoid the consequences of Batsheva come back to make all those consequences even worse. And it's something that keeps happening here. He cannot avoid the consequences simply by trying to run away from them. Okay, he avoids them by facing them and by doing tshuva. That's the message here. You can't plan your way outside of this nevuah here. That's where Rav Bazak puts it.
Or as they say today, you can run, but you can't hide.
That's right. That's right. Anyone read Dune by Frank Herbert?
I remember when you read it.
Again, yes, okay. So that's sort of the plot of Dune, is that Paul has this vision of the future where he becomes the emperor of the galaxy in the course of this massive war where billions are killed. And he spends his entire time trying to avoid that and fails miserably because he ends up being an emperor of the galaxy and billions are killed. Anyway, but that's the idea that we've seen that through David as well. We have this parallel of David physically trying to avoid the consequences of his actions. I mean, the whole story with Uriah was him trying to avoid the consequences of dealing with Bathsheba. That just made things worse. Here we see the same sort of thing. He's trying to avoid the nevuah, the consequences there, and it just makes things worse. That is his.
So meanwhile, Bathsheba is alive, right, and with him.
Yes, Bathsheba is alive and with him.
And what do we think Achitophel is feeling about his granddaughter? And
we are assuming that Achitophel is that sees, we talked about this, that sees this as having been a rape.
Yeah.
David took his granddaughter
and married her.
And did marry her. And is supporting her, but he still wants David dead.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean that's what's coming next.
Okay. So Achitophel is angry at that Bathsheba thing, and that's why he turned on David.
But it doesn't say that explicitly. We're assuming that's what happened, because that's all we see, right? All we know about Achitophel is that A, he's the grandfather of Bathsheba. B, he is the loyal advisor to David, who starts telling Avshalom what to do. And we'll see what his advice is right now. Okay? Because immediately we're going to go into that, because the text knows what fills this question. He's going to introduce Achitophel. Even though we've seen him before, this is the official, this is who Achitophel is, Pasuk Chagimel, the end of Perek Zayin, Batzat Achitophel asher ya'atz be'amim ahem. And Achitophel's counsel in those days, Kasher yishal ish bidvar helokim. It's like asking God. Ken kol atzat Achitophel. That's what Achitophel was like. Achitophel was never wrong. It was pretty, you know, and the text tells us that, Galmu David, Galmu Avshalom. Everything he said, you knew it was right. There was no way to avoid that. Okay? One of those people that you feel, you know, when you disagree with them, you get this horrible sinking feeling in your stomach because he's always right. Okay? So, what does that mean? He's already given some advice about the Pilag Shim. Here's Achitophel's next advice. Now, we'll see that Hushai is not here. He'll have to be brought back. So Vayomer Achitova Avshalom. Achitova continues and tells Avshalom. Avachara na shneim asar elef ish. Let me now go and pick 12,000 men. Vakuma, we'll go. Ve'erdefa acharei David halayla. We'll go chase David tonight. Okay, you just came to Yerushalayim. We need to go tonight and go get David. I'll get 12,000 men. We can put these together. No problem. Vavoa love, and I'll get to him. Puya gev, rafeya dayam, and he's exhausted. He's on the run right now. He's weak. Vecharadati yoto, and I'll throw him into a panic. Venasko ama esher yito, and all the people will run away. Ketia melech vado, and I will kill the king by himself. Okay, we're going to kill him now. Vashiva kol amelecha, and I will return all the people to you. And here's one puzzle that's hard to understand. Keshov hakol ha'ish asher atam vakesh kol am yeshalom. And to make the returning of all the person that you seek, all the people will be peace. What does that mean? I read it like Ruvei Abba Abarmanel does, as being keshov hakol, that should be in past tense, just like everyone returned to Ha'ish Asher Atam Vakesh, that this person, the man you're seeking, David, just like David pulled everyone to him, so too, they will all go to you. Once David is dead, this is the way Rabbanel puts it. But I would understand, the Pirush show, that the meaning of this line is, Ashiva Kolo Melecha, I will bring the people to you. Right now, half of them are with David, half of them are with you, but I can bring everything to you. But Tzolomar, meaning, Hashim Asher Im David, everyone who's loyal to David now, that just like Isha Charmavakesh, the person you're trying to get right now, David, managed to unite everybody, bring them all together. To David, that just like when there was a civil war, half of Bnei Israel were with Shaul and his family, and half were with David. But after the death of Shaul and Ishbosheth, everyone was united under David. That they didn't hold that grudge. They realized there was a civil war there. Once I lost their leader, then everybody went to him. So if we kill David, then everyone will give up and will join you. We'll be loyal to you. Kacha b'mot David. As soon as David is dead, Yeshuvu kol Yisrael el Avshalom. Everyone will go to Avshalom. Yikra lo amanche David, mashakara lo David imanche Shaul. Same thing will happen. That's Achitofel's conclusion. All we need to do is, if we can kill David, then everyone will be loyal to you. They're not going to hold that grudge. They will see what God intends, what's supposed to happen. So now we have this advice. Achitofel is saying, tonight, we're going to go after David, who's on the run, and kill him now.
You know, this has a very current ring about change of administration and the half that didn't want this person coming together and not coming together.
Okay, that's why I'm a big believer in democracy, that, okay, you can get rid of the rules you don't like by voting. That's a better solution than killing them. Not that I want to get involved in politics, but that is my feeling. So this is the way Tzahav puts it, that Avshalom really doesn't like that idea, because Avshalom really had no intention of killing his father. That's not how this started. Avshalom wanted to be the crown prince, wanted to be the one who would take over from his father, not by killing him dead. I mean, he knows full well that the way that even if you don't have democracy, a peaceful transfer of power is a better thing. So this is the way Mishpatot Zahav, which is the contemporary commentary, I like. Riti b'kilat Yaakov. V'chein hu barichup Abanel. I saw this explanation. I don't know who Kilat Yaakov is, but Abanel says something similar. Shepirshu she'Avshalom lo ratza lakakat et hamalucha midavid avir. Avshalom didn't really want to take the kingship from David's father. He wanted to be ruler in Hebron. I'll be the governor of Yehuda. After David passes away, David at this point is 65, is He's 65 years old. He's an old man. He's weak. This will happen. So after David passes away, Habab Ofen TV at Hamlucha Al Kol Yisrael. He will naturally become the king. He's the one who's been ruling over part of it. He's got the experience. Everyone's going to accept him as king. Of Achitophel, she has sonet David, but Achitophel, who hated David, who natanate itza, he's the one who gave him the advice. She Avshalom yaharoget David. He's the one who's pushing that Avshalom needs to kill his father. Afitziat atzmol asotzo before, and even volunteer suggested that he himself be the leader to go out and make sure this happens, right? That's what he says. Akumad erdefachre David, alayla vikite David amelach levado. I will kill him myself. That's Achitophel, that's not Avshalom. And I would say, therefore, says the Mishnah, that's what Avshalom does with the advice. The text tells us right now, Achitophel is always right. It's like asking God what to do. Avshalom doesn't immediately go do that. Avshalom then turns to Hushai and asks him what to do. Because he didn't really like the solution that Achitophel is suggesting here. Achitophel suggests that we kill David. It was where he Achitophel and David that Achitophel's hatred of David killed Ashura. Not a good way of translating that. It went beyond the...
Over the line.
What?
Went over the line.
Went over the line.
But isn't the Shura like the letter of the law kind of thing?
Right. So the Fnimin Yashurim is beyond the letter of the law. So it is beyond the letter of the law in the sense of this is good military advice and this is going too far because he's taking this personally. But Pam in Atatotava. Maybe Achitophel's advice right now, this one time, isn't the right military suggestion. He mentioned Nigiyut because he's biased in this issue. Vesina Ishit David has his personal hatred. So that's what happens. So Vayomer Avshalom Krana Gam V'Hushi Arki. So Avshalom, after he hears this from Achitophel, says, let's go call Hushai, my other advisor. Nishma Ma V'Piv Gamhu, and let's hear what he has to say. Vayomer Hushai Avshalom, so Hushai comes back to Avshalom, Vayomer Avshalom, I love, Leimor, and Avshalom tells him, Kadavar Azeh Diber Achitophel. This is what Achitophel suggests. We need to go tonight with a small army, 12,000 men, go attack David and wipe him out. And that said to the Varosh, we do what he says. Im ayin atadaber. If not, you have to tell me what to do. He's got Achitophel, tells him exactly what you should do. And he says, let me get another opinion. I'm not quite sure about that. And remember what Hushai's role specifically was. What did David tell Hushai to do? Way back.
He told him to listen to what's going on and get back to him. Let him know what's happening.
And more than that, look at the, here's the quote. David ba ad rosh harosh. This is back in Perek Tetvav. So last chapter, when David was running away at the top of Haraz Etim. And at a Rosh Hashanah, and that's where he would have bowed down to God. And coming to greet him is Hushai Arki, Karua, no, torn clothes, with the Mount Rosh, dirty face. Right, he's running as fast as he can. David says, if you come with me, you're just going to be a burden. You're an old man. You can't help me here as I'm running away. But you go back to the city, you go back to your side. But Martel Avshalom, Abdacha Ani Amelech, and you tell Avshalom, I am your servant, O king. I would be your father's servant. But from now on, I will be your servant. Your job is to defeat the council of Achitophel. Okay? Because I know, David says full well, that if I have to plan a military battle against Achitophel, I'm going to lose. He's that good. But you're going to do your best to make sure that that Avshalom does not listen to Achitophel. Mm. That's what he says. So that's what Hushai does. Yomer Hushai Avshalom. Hushai tells Avshalom, Lo tava itza shayata chitova b'pam hazot. You know, you're right. This one time, Achitova is giving you bad advice. Don't listen to him. Yomar Chushai, Ataya data devicha. Chushai says, look, you know your father, David, Ben Arashav, and all his people. Gibarim Hema. They're strong men. They're heroes. Umari Nefesh Hema. And they're bitter. Kedov Shakul Basadem. They're like a bereft bear. Okay? They will fight to the last moment. They are far too tough. And your father is a man of war. He won't let his people rest. Okay, he's already planning against you. Right now, imagine that he is hiding in some depression, some pit, or somewhere. He's hiding. His men are all in hiding. So whoever goes, you try to attack him. Whoever finds him first. Shema Shemea, and then all you'll hear is his cries, Amar Haita Magefa Ba'am, and everyone else will say there's been a terrible slaughter, a plague of the people, Asher Acharei Avshalom. If you try to attack him now, they're going to ambush you, and all you're going to hear about is the plague among the people of Avshalom. You won't defeat him. Hugam Ben Chayel, and even if someone is brave, Asher Libo Kalev Aryeh, is brave as a lion, Hamas Yimas. They will panic. Achitophel said that I will make his people panic. No, it's going to be the other way around. David's people are so tough that as soon as you try to attack them, they'll slaughter everyone, and all your people will panic, even your 12,000. Yadako Yisrael ki yibor avicha. Because everyone, all of Israel, know how strong David is. So everyone's going out, and no one wants to go and fight David. All these men with him. So all your soldiers are starting out afraid. They're just going to fight. They can't win. This is what I'm going to advice I'm going to give you. This is what you need to do. And so don't go tonight. As Sophia Seif Alecha Kol Yisrael, Midan Barad Sheva. You need to muster the entire people. Right? How large is the entire people as an army? We saw under Shaul, it was like 300,000 plus. You need to take the time. Build up an army under your name. Oh, make sure your army is as numerous as the sand. And you will lead them in battle. Not Achitophel. And then we can come upon him. Right? Don't attack now. You need to take the time to build up this army. Then you can come wherever he's hiding. I shared him to Hashem wherever he is. And we will land on him, just like dew on the earth. We will just smother him with a massive army. And will be none left from him and his people. No one will be left. We will eventually wipe them out just by sheer force of numbers. And if he goes hides in a city, and then we can have your massive army. We'll be able to take ropes with them, and we'll just drag the walls of the city out to the river. Right? Yeah, we have enough people. We can just pull down any walls by hand. Until there's not even a pebble left. That's Hushai's advice. Right? Don't go tonight. He's not giving advice of don't fight because he's got to act like he's loyal to Avshalom. But you know, take the time, build up an army, and then then you can go after David and you'll be safe. And in this case, Hushai wins the argument. And the text tells us that's because Hashem made that happen. Avshalom and everyone says, boy, that Hushai's argument is much better than Achitophel's argument. Hashem tziva lafer atzad Achitophel. Because usually we have to see Hashem's hands indirectly in the text. Here the text tells us, this is God doing it. God commanded to nullify, to uproot the counsel of Achitophel, Hatova. Right? The text is telling us that Achitophel is right. If they want to defeat David, they need to go now. Right? It's Achitophel, Hatova. because Hashem is going to defeat Avshalom. You know where this is. You know where this is going. It's a spoiler alert in the text. And I would stop here, and we'll talk more about this. Hashem Tzivah Lehafer Atzat Achitofel. And we will stop the recording.